Our study tonight is out of Hebrews chapter 7, verses 11 to 19, the superiority of Christ's priesthood to the law. That would be to the Mosaic law. The Mormon Church holds to a lesser mortal priesthood, which is called the Aaronic priesthood, whose members can administer outward ordinances, and to the greater mortal priesthood, the Melchizedek priesthood, that has the keys of power and blessing. See, there's a higher and then there's a lower level. Two different kinds of priesthoods in the Mormon Church. I met a Baptist pastor one time who was saved out of Mormonism. And when he was a Mormon, he was in the upper or the Melchizedekan priesthood. And when he was saved, he got ordained as a Baptist. And he was pastoring a Baptist church. Now, the Roman Catholic Church holds to a mortal priesthood where the priest in the Mass changes a piece of bread into a god, a greater fact than the creation of a world, according to a Catholic book with the imprimatur of the Archbishop of Ottawa, Canada. So this is something how it teaches in the Catholic Church. They actually teach that when the priest performs the Mass and he blesses the bread and so forth, he actually turns it into God. It's Jesus Christ and so forth. That's his body and then his blood and so forth. Yet Hebrews chapter 7, 11 to 19 reveals the mortal Aaronic priesthood of the Mosaic law has been replaced by Christ's immortal priesthood in vast superiority to all other conceivable human priesthoods. And we'll read about that. Hebrews chapter 7, verses 11 through 19. If therefore perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need was there that another priest should rise after the order of Melchizedek, and not be called after the order of Aaron? For the priesthood being changed, there is made of necessity a change also of the law. For he of whom these things are spoken pertains to another tribe, of which no man gave attendance at the altar. For it is evident that our Lord sprang out of Judah, of which tribe Moses spake nothing concerning priesthood. And it is yet far more evident, for that after the similitude of Melchizedek there arises another priest, who is made not after the law of carnal commandment, but after the power of an endless life. For he testifies, and then he quotes Psalm 110, verse 4, "Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. For there is truly a disannulling of the commandment going before for the weakness and the unprofitableness of it. For the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing of a better hope did, by the which we draw nigh to God." Okay. The author of Hebrews argued that if perfection were attained by the Levitical priesthood that was established by the Mosaic law, there would be no need for another priest to arise after the different order of Melchizedek, like Psalm 110, verse 4 predicted, instead of being called after the Aaronic order. You'll remember Psalm 110, verse 4 says of the Messiah, "Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek." So the very fact that there has to be a new order, a new priestly order, indicates that something has got to happen to the Aaronic priesthood. It has to be done away. However, the very prediction of Messiah being called after the order of the priesthood of Melchizedek in Psalm 110 reveals that perfection was not attained under the Aaronic Levitical priesthood. This is something that's always been a shock for the Jewish people to recognize, that God never intended perfection to come by the Aaronic priesthood. The law came to demonstrate that man couldn't keep the law. It was to reveal and expose sin. In fact, there's a passage in Paul's writings that says, the law condemned all men. It locked us all up in the prison house of sin, so that when Jesus Christ opened the door, he could let everybody out by one door, the door of grace through faith in him. So that God designed the law as a vehicle to condemn men by man's own efforts, so that God could save man by his grace. That's the whole thing. It's the purpose of God, is to show his grace and his glory of his grace. Accordingly, this change from the Aaronic to the Melchizedekan priestly order indicates a change was needed in the Mosaic law that initiated the Levitical priesthood. Though in a different way, this voices the same argument that Paul made in Romans 6:14, that we Christians are no longer under the rule of the Mosaic law. Notice verse 12 of Hebrews 7, "For the priesthood being changed, there is made of necessity a change also of the law." So it's interesting. Paul talked about how the law was imperfect and that it couldn't produce righteousness because It was weakened through the influence of man's sin nature. Man's sin nature, he couldn't keep the law. And that's why the law had to be done away with. But Melchizedek and priesthood indicates that the law had to be done away with because you're having a change of priesthoods. So there are two reasons there why the law is done away with. You know, this is a wonderful thing. There are many religions, and in fact, many religious groups in Christendom, not the least of which would be, to a degree, Roman Catholicism, to another degree, the Seventh-day Adventism, that believe that believers are under the jurisdiction, under the rule of the Mosaic Law. The Sabbath, and so forth. And the Catholic Church will change the Sabbath from Saturday to Sunday and so forth. Although nowadays they kind of relax that, and you can kind of do as long as you get your, you attend Mass once during the week, whether it's Saturday or Sunday, it's not that important. It's at least once a week is what they require. But we're not under the law. We're not under the rule of the Mosaic Law. We are free from the law. In fact, we're dead to the law. We died in Christ. And when a person dies, he dies to the law. We're dead in Christ positionally. So now we are raised in newness of life in Christ so that we can live in newness of life and righteousness, but free from the law. We're free from the rule of the law. Also, the fact that Jesus, the Messiah and Son of David, is of the tribe of Judah, a tribe having no part of the Aaronic priesthood that came from the tribe of Levi, indicates God intended there was to be a change from the Levitical to Christ's priesthood. I love a passage in Revelation chapter 5, verse 5. This is speaking, of course, figuratively of Jesus, but notice what it says. And one of the elders of Revelation 5, 5 said unto me, stop weeping. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. The Lion of the tribe of Judah is Jesus. The Lion represents the King. The Root of David. The Root of David is God, because he's the source from which David came. He's called the Root and the Offspring of David, because he's the Son of David. He's also the Lord of David. But the Root of David has prevailed to open the book and to loosen the seven seals thereof. If he's the Root of David, that means he lived before David's time, which means that's a reference to his deity. So he's King and God. And that's a wonderful thing. But he's of the tribe of Judah, which is interesting. Judah, remember, was one of the sons of Leah, the unloved wife of Jacob. Very interesting. Well, furthermore, Christ as priest after the order of Melchizedek has an indestructible life, in vast contrast to the mortality of the Aaronic priests. Verse 15, it is yet far more evident, for that after the similitude of Melchizedek there arises another priest, who is made, not after the law of a fleshly or carnal commandment, but after the power of an endless life. Now, proof, of course, that Christ has an everlasting priesthood and life is in Psalm 110, verse 4, because there it says he would be a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. The only way you can be a priest forever is if you live forever as a priest, which means you've got to live forever. And this is an argument that the author of Hebrews camps on. It says forever, and if he's a priest forever, he's living forever. That separates the priesthood of Jesus Christ from not only the Aaronic priesthood, it separates him from the priesthood in Roman Catholicism, it separates him from the priesthood in Mormonism, and the priesthood in every other religion, because all those other priests die. Why do they die? Because they're sinners. We'll look at some passages in reference to this. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 20 through 23. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 20, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the firstfruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, he's talking about Adam, when Adam sinned, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive, but every man in his own order, Christ is the firstfruits, afterwards they that are Christ's at his coming. Another passage, Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Tremendous verse. Wherefore, as by one man, that's Adam, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And for that, death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Incidentally, this is a very powerful verse that demonstrates that evolution can't be true. In evolution, you have the survival of the fittest, and that means you have to have death. But here, the Bible says that sin entered into the world by man, and death came by man's sin. Death was not around before man, so you can't have evolution before man existed. You can't have it on days 2, 3, 4, 5, and so forth. So it's a tremendous verse that the Apostle Paul even uses here. And, of course, Romans 3:23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The only one who hasn't sinned is Jesus. So the only one who can have an immortal priesthood is Jesus. Now, he died a substitutionary death. His death would have been a miraculous death because he wasn't guilty of sin. But he died as he was bearing our sin, and God gave him the commandment. So a lot of people don't realize this. Jesus died a miraculous death. He wasn't a sinner, but he made himself die, and the Father gave him the commandment to lay his life down and to take it again. So he died supernaturally, but he didn't die as a sinner. So, by way of application, not only the Mosaic Law, Aaronic priesthood, but all other priesthoods of all other religious orders are inferior to Christ's priesthood, since he alone is immortal. That means he doesn't die. He is sinless in vast contrast to all other priests who are sinners and who thus die. I was reading the quotation in Lorraine Botner's book on Roman Catholicism, A Confession of a Priest, who had been a priest for many years, might have been even 50 years. And he says, I got to the point where I just couldn't stand being in the confessional anymore. There were these people who were pouring out their hearts to me in the confessional, confessing sins that I had done. And he says, here I was absolving them of sin when I realized I couldn't do that. I'm a sinner like them, so what am I doing? So he said, because of the confessional, I had to get out of the Catholic Church. He says, I couldn't live with myself anymore. Now, of course, priests go to the archbishop or the bishop or whatever to say their confessionals, but where do they go? Where does the Pope go? See? And thankfully, we go to Christ. We go to our sinless forgiver, and we confess our sins private to him. We don't have to tell anybody else what those sins are. Confess it to Jesus Christ. The only sins we confess to someone else is the sin that we've done against another person, to hurt another person, and we go to that person or to the circle of people that we've hurt and confess it to them. But Jesus Christ and the priesthood of Jesus Christ is far superior. I'd hate to have to hear the confessions of other people telling me, because I'm a sinner myself. It would be intolerable. I couldn't live with myself. It's so wonderful to tell people, you go to Christ. I go to him for my sins. You go to him for your sins and confess it, and he forgives. Therefore, the former arrangement of the Levitical priesthood given under the Mosaic Law was to be done away, since the law that ordered it was to be done away due to the weakness and uselessness of the system of the Mosaic Law itself. Verse 18, for there is truly a disannulling of the commandment going before for the weakness and the profitableness thereof. The weakness and uselessness was evidenced in the fact that the law could not make anything perfect because it was weak through means of man's sinful nature, unlike the new order in Christ does by God's giving grace through faith. Paul tells us in Romans chapter 8, this is another one of my very favorite passages of Scripture, thick in theology but wonderful in application. Romans 8:3, for what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, that's the sinful nature, God, sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh but after the Holy Spirit. As believers who are saved, when we walk by means of the Holy Spirit, when we rely upon the Holy Spirit, the quality of righteousness that is found in the law, we automatically fulfill. And it's not that we're fulfilling it. God is fulfilling it through us. I think of Galatians 2:20. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. The life which I now live in the body, I live by faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So it's a wonderful thing to be under the priesthood of our wonderful Savior, the Lord Jesus. So, Christ's priesthood, after the order of Melchizedek, is vastly superior to the Aaronic priesthood established under the Mosaic Law, or to any other priesthood by mortal man. Number one, why? Christ's priesthood was predicted to arise by Psalm 110, verse 4, which prediction indicates the Aaronic priesthood and thus also the law that established it had to be replaced. Two, Jesus was of the tribe of Judah instead of Levi, as was the Aaronic priesthood, indicating this change was needed. Number three, the sinless Christ has an eternal priesthood and an indestructible life and vast superiority not only to the Aaronic priests under the law, but to all other priests of any religious group, as they are all mortal sinners. the priesthood of the Catholic Church, the priesthood of the Mormon Church, the priesthood of people in any other organization or in witchcraft. They have priests, druids, and so forth. Jesus is superior to all of that. That's a wonderful truth. And then, the law that instituted the Aaronic priesthood could not then perfect anyone as Christ could in his eternal salvation. So, may we view the Melchizedek and priesthood of Christ as existing vastly superior to all other human priesthoods of any other religious entity, realizing Jesus' priesthood replaces even the Mosaic law's Aaronic priesthood, and so cleave to Christ in biblical Christianity over all other religious faiths. I'm always amazed when a person who is a professing Christian leaves Christianity and goes into some other religion where they often have priests and whatnot, because of what this passage teaches. The only priest who is an eternal priest because he is sinless is Jesus. In all of these other religions, they will tell you these other priests have sinned. Well, how can they intercede for us? They're limited. How can God listen to them? They're sinners like the rest of us. We have to have sinners. Now, it's true that God makes us a priesthood. We're priests and kings unto our Lord. But still, the effectiveness of our ministry as priests unto the Lord has to go through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we, as believer priests, still need cleansing through Christ. So there's no priesthood that is anywhere close to the priesthood of Christ. So to leave biblical Christianity and to go into any other religion is a step down, big time, because we are putting ourselves at the mercy of priests who are sinners. And that's it.
So God help us to remember the absolute supremacy of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the eternal and hence sinless immortality of our wonderful priest, the Savior, the Lord Jesus. And because he's sinless, he can intercede very effectively with us, for us, before the Father. He's there, and the Father listens to him. And when he turns to the Father, because Jesus is humanity, deity in humanity, he turns to the Father and he says, "Father, I know what that feels like because I was there. I felt that. I know what that temptation is like. I've been there." And the Father listens to him. And he heeds him because he's also righteous. He was absolutely sinless. So we have an absolutely wonderful and fully adequate, highly motivated intercessor. So what we need to do is to avail ourselves of the priesthood of Christ and pray. And God bless us as we do that.